Consciousness, he thinks, is the only way that you can let the shadow have less hold over you. You can try and integrate the shadow. What integration means is, for example, suppose you've had a problem with aggression. You can integrate it to the extent that it becomes appropriate assertiveness that you use in the right situation, but it doesn't become out of control. Suppose you're a very vulnerable person. You can use that vulnerability to become sensitive to the feelings of other people. Suppose that you have a drive for power. You can use that to develop healthy ambition. That's what's meant by integration. In practice, this is, of course, not so easy. Sometimes the material in the shadow is too emotionally intense. It can't be integrated. And then the best thing you can do is somehow try to depotentiate it. So the Buddhists, for example, will recommend developing the opposite quality to try to depotentiate it. If you're an arrogant person, try to develop humility. Something like that, they think, will depotentiate the shadow. We're trying to soften some of its emotional intensity. You can sublimate it. Some time ago, I worked with a surgeon who was well respected in the community for being a very compassionate, good surgeon, and I think he was. But when we looked at his dreams were full of mercenary soldiers who were just killing people for money. Okay, so this is what Freud meant by sublimation. The violence and sadism in his personality had been sublimated into a socially very acceptable form of behavior. That's what's meant by sublimation of the shadow. That's sublimated into a healing vocation. Sometimes you just have to give up the need to be good. You have to somehow just allow the shadow to just live inside you, just knowing that it's there. Neumann, one of Jung's colleagues, called this developing a gentleman's agreement with the shadow. You know, I know you're there, just sit on the shelf, you know, something like that. Just allowing it to live in us. I find that humor is very helpful. Making fun of yourself or making fun of negative qualities is quite helpful. It loosens the shadow and it takes some of the shame out of it, because the thing about humor is usually that there's an element of truth in the joke. And when you make a joke, you're acknowledging the shadow element that the joke depicts. But sometimes it's very difficult to deal with a shadow problem, and Jung acknowledges. He says that sometimes there's nothing I can do except wait with a trust in God until out of the conflict born with patience there emerges the necessary solution for that person. I help the patient understand all the things that the unconscious produces during the conflict. So all the developmental material that I talked about in the last hour, all the difficult things that can happen in childhood, produce what the Jungians call painful complexes. This rage and hatred and so on all exists in the form of complexes, and they can be hateful and destructive and sadistic and abusive and so on. But we have to remember that in Jungian theory, there's always an archetypal core at the center of the complex. And it's very important to understand that the archetypes are spiritual principles. Jung calls them organs of God or tools of God in one of his letters. So that means, it's a very interesting idea, it means that at the core of your most painful, destructive, angry, abusive complex, there's an element of the divine. Which is why I wrote a text on the subject of psychotherapy as a spiritual practice, because when you work on personal shadow material, on these negative complexes, if you work deeply enough, you invariably get to one of these transpersonal components of the psyche. And you see this in people's dreams, in mythological forms, in the form of demons or vampires. These will tell you what the archetype is at the core of the complex, but it's extremely numinous. The collective shadow, of course, manifests itself in a culture. Cultures have complexes as well as individuals. And when you have a destructive leader like Hitler or someone like that, or a mass phenomenon such as Nazism, that's the collective shadow, the shadow of the whole culture. I wanted just to end on with a notion of Jung's notion of the dark side of the self. Now remember, Jung's note, I'm not sure if people are familiar with this, Jung thinks that there's an a priori image of God in the psyche, so that when you're born, there's already the self that he writes, or in English we write with a capital S, an intrapsychic God image. We aren't sure exactly how that relates to the divine itself in its transcendent aspects, but Jung says that the self that we have in the psyche constitutes the most immediate experience of the divine that it is psychologically possible to imagine. So the nearest we can get to it is the psychological experience of it. Now, as I said, he thinks this self has to contain all the opposites, has to contain good and evil, justice and injustice, male and female, and so on, because it's the totality of the psyche. So if you think of the biblical Job, who experiences this, everyone's familiar with the story of Job. This is an apparently innocent, pious individual who experiences divine ruthlessness and savagery for no obvious reason. I actually think there was a reason. I think that Job had quite a severe narcissistic character disorder. No, I'm serious. I don't have a Bible with me, but I could show you that there are several verses which show that he's really quite arrogant. Before his these terrible things, you remember the story that there's a storm that kills his children and all his possessions are stolen and so on. I won't go through all that. But before all that happened to him, he was spiritually asleep. He was smug and self-righteous. And you can see that very clearly in the text. And what happens as a result of his experience of what Jung calls the dark side of God, when God allows all this bad stuff to happen to him, is his narcissism is transformed. He becomes empathic, he becomes compassionate, he becomes sensitive to the poor. He's not as good as he looks on the surface. There's a radical transformation. So there's nothing like suffering to produce. Oh, I'll talk about this more when I talk about the problem of suffering. I'll come back to Job. So Jung is emphasizing the difference between the psychological experience of God. Think of things like Hiroshima or the Holocaust, the bombing of Dresden. You know, these kind of really awful things that have happened. That cause evil and suffering. That's what he's talking about when he talks about the dark side of God. And traditional Christian doctrine in which Christ is only good and evil is split off and projected onto the Antichrist or Satan. So we experience the dark side of the self as destruction and suffering and so on. This questioning, by the way, has happened before. In 1755, there was a huge earthquake in Lisbon. In Portugal, and tens of thousands of people were killed in a few minutes. This led to the development of a whole line of, remember Leibniz wrote then, he developed this line of theology called theodicy, the attempt to justify God in the presence of suffering and evil. And so they had the same response that we have to the Holocaust. Where was God when all this was going on? So that's what Jung means by the need to develop a new God image that includes a dark side as well as a light side. Now, this allows us to approach the problem of evil spiritually and psychologically at the same time. Okay, when you're faced with the dark side of God causing suffering, you have to accept uncertainty, persevere in patience, without trying to explain what's happening, and that requires considerable faith and sacrifice on the part of the ego. As somebody mentioned this morning, a process of radical acceptance. We have to decide to live in spite of our suffering at the hands of the dark side of the self. We have to try to relate to the dark side of the self. But the value of this concept is that what's going on is not random. If you realize that there is a divine intelligence in the background of the suffering or the evil that's going on, it gives you a spiritual perspective on the situation. And I think that's part of the value of Jung's notion of the dark side of the self. It makes you acknowledge your connection to the transpersonal dimension. It's therapeutic to live in harmony with your fate, in other words. Okay. So Jung says, rather than trying to escape the sense of being attacked by God, one has to allow oneself to be affected by God, so that in knowing it, one may transform its violence into further knowledge of the self, as Job had to do. Well, I think if I'm going to give you 20 minutes, I'll stop at that point and have questions.